Do you have any good titles for Purgatory? Would you call it the Theology of Purgatory?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember what I said.
That's true. I'm just going to wing this.
Okay.
Episode 1209.
More Purgatory.
It's not really more. It is. I'm just going to say the Theology of Purgatory.
All right. Well,
and maybe
that
will be true.
I hope that works.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian. It's a time loop, everybody, and thank you for joining us. It's Matt Anderson here.
It's Ben DiBono here.
And here's what's happening. Maybe a couple things, Ben. Because over on the Patreon feed, listeners, which you can find at patreon.com/the Sci-Fi Christian, we've been going through the Divine Comedy. We just finished Inferno. We're about to go into Purgatorio. Is that right? Purgatorio.
Yeah.
Which is, listeners, if you want me to translate that for you, it's Purgatory. And we have covered Purgatory on the show before, and I found one episode for sure from April 2015, episode 352. Isn't it crazy? That small number, almost 1,000 episodes ago. How about that Purgatory?
A relevant season for it here, as we just finished All Souls Day yesterday, as we're recording this, but then in the entire month of November in the liturgical calendar. Actually, fun fact. For the first time, I saw black vestments yesterday. Very rare.
I don't know what that even means.
So different vestments for different liturgical colors. And so because All Souls Day was on a Sunday, the priest wore black vestments. Typically, you're only going to get black vestments sometimes All Saints Day, sometimes All Souls Day, sometimes at funerals. A lot of parishes don't even do them. So I was quite excited. My kids, I don't think, cared, but I was like, it's black vestments. So it was an exciting day.
This is interesting. I'm sorry to be distracted. Our website. Oh, no, never mind. I thought I was seeing ads on our website, but that's not true. Somebody, it looks like you must have posted links to something on our Purgatory episode or our Heaven episode. Yeah, don't worry about it right now. For now, I'll just say this, listeners. April 30th, 2015, we released this episode. How about that Purgatory? We're gonna put that here, but the very end of the episode you just recorded on Dante, Ben, you had a little Purgatory talk, and I wonder if that would also be good. So I think I'll throw that into maybe like the last 5 or 10 minutes of an episode we just recorded that's over on the extra feed, specifically about Purgatory. So maybe we'll start with that so you can get Ben's most updated thoughts, and then we'll go to, here's the description of this episode. A listener asked the Sci-Fi Christian a great question about Purgatory, and Ben gives a great response. I probably wrote that for you.
So sounds like you.
All right, so let's do some time travel music, and then we'll do an outro later.
Okay, so we're about to start Purgatorio. So Purgatorio, this can be the one that's confusing. It may be part of why people stop here. Is that Purgatory is just a little too Catholic. Like, we can get on board of hell. Everybody's on board of hell, at least in a fun way. But once it gets to Purgatory, that's a little bit too Catholic. So I don't want to rehash the doctrine of Purgatory here. But what I will say is that from Dante's perspective, what Dante's trying to communicate to us is that there is another way. You have to deal with your sin. And you've got two paths for it. You can either let your sin consume you, where you get what you want, and everybody in hell gets what they want. Like, that's the terrifying thing. They've all been consumed by their sin, where this is the only thing they can want. Or you get what you want, which is salvation. And to get that salvation, you have to let God deal with your sin. There's a couple really important theological points about this. And I hope people can get on board with them regardless of what they believe or don't believe about Purgatory. The first one is that you'll find, and we're going to spend the first part of Purgatorio actually outside Purgatory proper. There's a rather lengthy introduction section on like the shores of Purgatory and everything. And so we'll eventually get to the seven terraces of Purgatory. But before we get to Purgatory, what's going to happen is that we are going to cross through the gates of heaven. So we will see the pearly gates here in the next canticle, not in Paradiso. Why? Because in Purgatory, you are saved. You're in. You made it through the gate. You're good. That's not just a Dante thing. That is a Catholic thing. It's very important to understand that. Purgatory is not a way to earn your salvation. Your salvation is already earned. Okay? What purgatory is then, I'm talking about Dante's conception, and this is true in Catholic theology, but I want you to get this, even if you just want to see this as a metaphor for sanctification in this life. Purgatory is not a way to earn salvation. It is not an addition to God's grace. It is the way by which God removes our sin. Okay? So think about the concept I want you to think about here is the fire of God. We think about the fire of God, the wrath of God in hell, right? The flames of hell, right? But the fire of God is also a purifying fire. It's a fire that cleanses, and it still hurts. But that hurt, then, you're going to see the sufferings of the souls in purgatory are markedly different than the sufferings of the souls in inferno. The suffering of the souls in purgatory is bringing them joy and salvation. It's not them adding to it. It is God cleaning them up. That's what you're going to see. So, and I think if you're paying for the sci-fi Christian, you've put up with me long enough, even if you're a diehard Protestant, where you're going to be able to handle a little purgatory.
Yeah, like me.
But the point here is that as you go, I really would encourage my Protestant friends out there to not let that get in the way. Dante has profound things to say to us, and he has true things to say to us, even if you want to take this purely metaphorically. That said, here is my Catholic plug to end this episode. I hope you don't. I hope you take the doctrine of purgatory seriously, at least as a concept. C.S. Lewis, of all people, said our souls demand purgatory. This doesn't have to be just a Catholic idea. And what Dante's going to show you is something that is profound and profoundly true. So, for next time, Canto 1, 2, and 3. We'll kick it off in style.
Listeners, I just was now looking over at, because I kind of wonder if it would be valuable to hear more about the theology of purgatory. But I know we've done that episode. And as long as your theology, Ben, hasn't changed in the last 10 years, I did find an episode that we released in 2015.
That's probably good. I mean, I don't know if my theology would have changed. My ability to explain it and questions people have might have.
So I think what I'll do, maybe we'll time loop it. We haven't time looped for a while. I'll time loop it on the free feed. So go just watch that. In the next week or so, you'll see, I'd say in the next week, you'll see an episode on purgatory in the free feed. And I think that'll be a good compliment to what we're about to dive into starting next week.
Starting next week. Ta-da!
Episode 352. How about that purgatory?
Other Catholic myths and propaganda.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Bandy Bono. We are back.
Back. And I called for this episode for a specific reason. And here it is. After we had our episodes on hell, which were, what were they, Ben? Do you remember the numbers?
No.
344 and 343, it looks like. We had two-part episodes on hell, and in there we mentioned briefly purgatory.
Yeah.
And Ben gave us a little bit of his ideas, and I'll restate them as I understand them, and you can clear up anything that I say incorrectly. But Ben, who has in the last few years become Catholic after moving out of Protestantism, came to an understanding of purgatory that he feels like is pretty can be accepted on both sides. So both camps can accept this, which is, if you just think about purgatory as the time of sanctification, whether that's 1,000 years or 1 second, that's what they'll have to believe, I guess, about purgatory. You don't have to believe it's a place where you live for a long time and eventually get to heaven.
Right.
You can just think about it as that instant second that you are sanctified and made holy for heaven, because as he mentioned in the past, most likely all of us will die having sinned,
right?
And even though God does forgive us of our sins, there has to be a sanctification process before entering the holy heaven.
Exactly.
Okay,
so whatever that sanctification process is, where we are
once and for all cleansed of our sins, whatever language we attach to that in terms of details, we can call that purgatory.
Okay, so I tend to believe, if I was going to be on board with that, I'd say this is probably just a quick instantaneous thing that happens. What do you say, Ben? I don't actually know the answer to this.
I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit agnostic about it. I think it's, I don't necessarily visualize it in a Dante-esque way. I guess to me the difficulty is trying to place language of time around it. You know, I think it's a very difficult concept to put in chronological terms, because I think that eternity, which purgatory would be part of, whatever it is outside of how we think about time. I think it's a state of being. I think it's something that we are conscious of while it's taking place. You know, so I don't think it's like we just go into heaven and you're like, whoa, I'm not sinful anymore. And God's like, yeah, how about that purgatory?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what we should have called this episode. How about that purgatory?
We can change it.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's change it.
Okay.
Maybe not. No. But
okay. Yeah, so I think that it's something that we are aware of. I think it's something we're conscious of. And what that looks like and how long it takes place, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So now what this episode's actually going to be is basically a reenacting.
Yeah, we're a drama.
Drama that happened on Facebook. Now, we had a listener. His name is Jamie. You can read this on Facebook. And he asked a question, and at first Ben was trying to get to the bottom of, is this guy actually want a legit answer when it comes to purgatory, or right. Is he just trying to start a fight? But guess what?
He wanted a legitimate answer.
Yeah, Jamie's a great guy.
Exactly. We had a great conversation.
Yeah, Ben and Jamie had a great conversation back and forth. So for this evening, I'll be playing the part of Jamie, reading word for word his questions, because I think it really helps shed some light on this often had debate. Yeah. Ben, you'll be playing the part of?
Of Ben DiBono.
All right.
I've got to get into my character.
Here we go. And I'm going to read Jamie with my own voice.
Okay.
Because that's how I hear him in my head.
Yeah, we don't know what he sounds like.
Jimmy says, hey, Ben, if purgatory is a place or a state of being, would that mean that Jesus' sacrifice was not enough to absolve us of our sins?
So should I say my name? Or
no, let's just have a conversation.
Okay. So, nope. On the contrary, it is just like sanctification in this life. It is affected by grace.
We are sanctified. We just need to walk in it. So why do we need more sanctification?
Oh, I think we're just getting caught on semantics here, Jamie. Or Matt.
No, I'm Jamie.
Sorry. I'm not good at acting.
I can tell.
Whether you say we're already sanctified and are learning to walk in it, or that we're becoming sanctified, the point is still the same. The process, whenever and however it takes place, is a result of grace. It rhymed.
When Jesus said, it is finished, that would mean there is no need for further absolution and sanctification. This is where I see a contradiction with purgatory.
All the Catholic doctrine of purgatory states is that if we are Christians who die, not being yet fully sanctified, or to use your terminology, not yet fully walking in our sanctification, we will be cleansed of that remaining imperfection by God prior to entering paradise. I don't know how that would contradict Christ's words on the cross. All the cleansing of our sin, wherever and whenever it takes place, is by grace. If I may ask why this focus on purgatory, surely it's not surprising that a Catholic like yours truly believes the doctrine.
Smiley face. Don't forget, you have to say a smiley face, because that really helps shed light on where the feelings are coming from.
Yeah.
Okay. Jamie continues. I was just curious what your opinion is. I agree with and respect a lot of what you have to say on the podcast, except, of course, your opinion on The Walking Dead. Smiley face.
Yeah. I have a big smiley face.
I think he's talking about the TV show, not the graphic novel.
Right. Or actual people who are
Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yes. Jamie says, I have asked other. Well, hold on a second. I have to.
Yeah, you got it.
Go down to the next page. See?
It's all on one page for me.
Oh, that's nice. I have asked other Catholics before and just have not found a satisfactory answer. It is just my opinion that purgatory diminishes the work that Jesus did on the cross.
All right. So at this point, I was on board with Jamie. It's clear that he's actually wanting to have a conversation, right. Not just, oh, you Catholics.
So before that, you were...
I wasn't sure.
Okay.
Because, it's like, I'm happy to talk to whoever, but I don't want to just have a... You know,
Catholics are always wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. Conversations. It's not helpful to anybody. And what is clear to me, that's not what Jamie wanted either. Let's go for it. Oh, now I'm back in character. I'm happy to answer questions, hopefully in a more substantive way than you've gotten from other Catholics. I'm curious in what sense purgatory diminishes Christ's work that sanctification in this life doesn't. I'm not sure I see a distinction between being sanctified in this life and being sanctified after death. Provided we confess God's grace as being the driving force in our sanctification, why does it matter when or where it occurs? In other words, what distinction do you see between sanctification in this life and sanctification in purgatory that would allow the former to be in accord with the atonement and the latter to be adding to it?
By his stripes I am healed. By his blood I have been washed white as snow. The veil was torn by his death. My sanctification happened at the cross, not in this life nor after I die. Now, if we still need to go through purgatory, then what Jesus did at the cross was not good enough to sanctify me to enter paradise. I am sanctified and I don't need to be sanctified more. The gift has already been gifted and there is no more need for a cleansing. That is why I have trouble with purgatory.
Two thoughts on that. First, the view of sanctification you're taking is one that would be disputed by a great many Protestants as well as Catholics. It seems that your real disagreement isn't with purgatory, but with a view that says sanctification is a process. Purgatory is only ancillary to that larger issue, but it's not the main point your argument disputes. Second, while Catholicism does teach sanctification as a process, I don't see that your view of sanctification rules out purgatory de facto. For the sake of argument, let's take your view of sanctification. All believers are already sanctified, yet we still sin. Most of us will continue to struggle with sin until the day we die. In heaven, we will not sin. Therefore, some sort of transformation must take place between the moment we die as people who still struggle with sin and the moment we are in heaven as people who no longer struggle to sin. Or struggle with sin, I guess. All purgatory is, when you get right down to it, is the name we give to that whatever, to whatever that thing, transformation, whatever we want to call it, is. It's simply verbiage that we use as an acknowledgement of that change. Framed that way, it doesn't contradict what you're saying at all. Of course, there would be understandings of purgatory that wouldn't fit with your view of sanctification, but the basics of the doctrine do.
I do agree that we still struggle with sin. However, does that negate the fact that we are sanctified? If we are not sanctified, then what was the point of Jesus going to the cross? Also, you hinted at this in the podcast. Sin is just a byproduct of free will, which I agree with. However, that begs the question, if we are going to be sinless in heaven, do we lose our free will?
Well, who's going to play Aaron?
I'll play Aaron.
You got to use a different voice.
Aaron writes, I've often heard it put on as salvation in three tenses. One, past. We have been saved through Christ's atoning work on the cross under the new covenant. The relationship between God and man has been repaired. Two, present. We are being saved from the present power of sin in our lives through the work of the Spirit. Sin increasingly loses its grip on us. Philippians 2:12 and others. Three, future. We are going to be saved. We will have resurrected, glorified bodies and be fully united with God, as all the marriage metaphors in Scripture indicate.
That's okay.
Not sure how. It's hard to do with a different voice.
Not an expert audiobook reader like me.
We've met Aaron. That's not what he sounds like at all. Not sure how all that lines up with Catholic theology, but I've heard sanctification described pretty much like that for most of my life, and I'm increasingly open to the idea of number two continuing for a time after death.
You sound like what it sounds like if you put it into a computer, you know, speech to
I was just trying to do it different so people can see that there's not the same person.
That's not Jamie. So this is back to me.
See, I'm really bad at impersonation, so I don't have a lot of other voices to use.
See.
I know.
Once you start reading to your kids, those voices down.
Got to work on that. So, okay, you're up.
All right. And I think I'm mostly replying to Jamie here.
So
this is where Facebook gets a little complicated.
Man, we should have just ignored Aaron's.
No, because I do reference his at some point.
There we go.
Or Jamie does. It gets all confusing. I think some of this is terminology. Obviously, all Christians agree that something of great significance happens in salvation, and all Christians agree we struggle with sin after salvation. These would correspond to points 1 and 2 in Aaron's comment. It seems to me we're all in agreement on at least the broad strokes of those two points. Therefore, we shouldn't be overly concerned which one we label sanctification. In my usage of the term, sanctification means the process by which we cease any struggle with sin, both in a salvific sense and in a holistic sense. It sounds to me like you're using it to refer to what happens at salvation. So from a big picture perspective, it doesn't sound to me like we actually disagree. You gotta get everyone on the same page. It's a good debate topic.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell them they agree with you. No,
that is true.
Yeah.
You're trying to backtrack, but I know that that's how you try to fool me when we're debating. So go ahead.
It is a fun tactic that I use. Oh, crap. Can we edit that out? I don't want to let that out of the bag. That's what I... No,
go back. So from a big picture.
Okay. So from a big picture perspective, it doesn't sound to me like we actually disagree. We're just using terms in different ways, which, by the way, is a constant peril of theological discussion. Now, as we move past the big picture, of course, we're going to discover differences in how the past, present, and future parts of salvation actually work. See, Aaron's comment was relevant. That was a side. Now back to the script. For example, many, though by no means all, Protestants see salvation as a decision. Catholics and some Protestants see it as a process. Similarly, there are also issues such as what the atonement is precisely, what salvation means on an individual and corporate level, and whether or not salvation can be lost. These are likely to bring some level of disagreement among Christians of various stripes. However, that's probably a much longer larger conversation than the one we're having. In relation to the current conversation, we all agree that there's an ongoing post-salvation cleansing of sin that needs to take place so that we reach the point where we no longer sin. I'll avoid the S word, being sanctification, for the sake of clarity. Smiley face. I think we'd all agree that for most Christians, that process continues until the moment of death. Finally, we'd all agree that the process is completed in heaven. We might not agree on whether or not to call that final cleansing purgatory, but on the broad strokes, I think there's a ton of common ground between all Christians on this issue, Catholic, Protestant, or otherwise. Your question about heaven, sin, and free will is an excellent one. My very quick answer would be that we sin not exclusively because of our free will, but because our free will is fallen. After we complete that process of being cleansed so that we never sin anymore, our will no longer be tainted, thus allowing for perfect harmony, heavenly existence that is sin-free and lived out in free will.
I agree with Aaron's point on number two, and I have also entertained the thought that may be a process that will take an eternity to become like Christ. Yet Jesus was in a fallen world, had free will, and remained sinless. So I would like to assume that there will be a time when I no longer have a desire to sin. Losing that desire to sin is what I think salvation is really about, and not so much about staying out of hell. The work that Christ did on the cross reestablished my relationship with God and paid my debt to enter heaven. However, I could agree with purgatory being part of the process of overcoming my sinfulness. Let me say it again. However, I could agree with purgatory being part of the process of overcoming my sinfulness, and to me, that would be paradise. Paradise would not be... Oops, sorry. Paradise
would be not.
Yeah. Paradise would be not having to fight my sin nature. Yet, with that being said, because of my free will, there may always be a struggle against sin.
Sounds like we've reached a fair bit of common ground. I call that a successful conversation.
I agree.
Smiley face.
Smiley face. And that, folks,
ta-da,
was
The end.
The reenactment of a talk about sanctification and purgatory.
Yeah. You did a great job playing
two parts.
Yeah.
I had two parts in there. That was tough.
That is tough.
All right, everybody. Well, that's this episode. Just wanted to get that out there. I thought that was a great conversation. So if you ever want to engage us in conversation, Facebook, email, voicemail. How do they reach us?
612-4121-SFC.
Email us at?
feedback@thesciFiChristian.com.
And we're also on Twitter. And we've been getting more and more Twitter responses lately. Yeah. So keep it going, everybody. Well, thanks so much. Special shout out to Jamie there, who played a big part in this episode. Also to Aaron for his cameo.
Yeah. Sorry that the performance didn't capture your essence, Aaron.
And to Ben DeBono for his great...
I played myself.
No, I was going to say, not arguing skills, debate. You're a great debater.
Well, thank you.
We know your tricks. So
yeah, that's true.
Watch out for that in the future. So that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DeBono.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians, signing off.
Bye-bye.
And we're back, listeners. Ben, what did you think?
I mean, I'm still pro-purgatory.
All right. And here's what I'll say about purgatory. After we were talking about it during the Dante episode, here's what I was thinking. I don't know for sure if it's real, obviously, as a Protestant. But you had the whole thing that you said about it. You're in, so you don't have to worry about that part, which I already knew that. But I was thinking, if there is a process to cleanse us of our sins, to be with Jesus forever, I mean, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I would be okay with waiting for that really great thing.
Right.
Which is being with Jesus forever. And there is no time.
Yeah, you don't know how time works. You don't know how...
And I don't know what you said on this episode because you and I haven't actually listened to what we're about to time loop for 10 years.
Yeah.
But I remember you saying once, and it was probably on this episode, who knows if purgatory is just a moment. Right. We don't know that it's a place you spend years at,
that's absolutely correct.
Although I don't think years matter in the afterlife. But what if it's just a fleeting moment, just simply, you know, if you almost, I hate to use this terminology because it sounds silly, but it's only, as you go through a portal, that it could be as simple as that. You just go through and just quickly, and now that's it. It could cleanse you instantly like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you...
The Purgatory Portal would have been a good... that's might be a good title.
I think, though, like, to give just a little bit of a final thought here, because all... yesterday was All Souls Day. Our priest did speak on purgatory, and he brought up a figure I like to talk about a lot, Hitler. And he made the point of, like, what if Hitler had had a deathbed confession? Wouldn't his soul demand some level of penance and cleaning with that? Yes. Like, there's something doesn't... Forget what you think theologically. Like, isn't there something in that? Imagine Hitler has a deathbed confession. Isn't there something in that that says something is demanded of him in terms of being cleansed of his sin? We want to believe that God's grace is powerful enough where even Adolf Hitler in his final moment could be saved. Like, I believe that.
But you're saying you kind of want to believe he could be saved, but he should go through something to be able to go, to stand before God.
Not even should, not in the sense of like he better pay for something, though, I mean, on a human level, I feel that. But obviously, there's some tidying up to do, one might say, rather significantly. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that grace, you know, means that Hitler has to earn his salvation, but I also don't think grace would mean Hitler's just off the hook for everything. There is a sense of that penance and reparation is not about earning salvation, but it is about God growing us up and helping us to put things back together. And I think an extreme case like that helps illustrate why.
Yeah. And I think in this case, even though I like learning about purgatory and hearing that theology, I think I would, from a Protestant perspective, just think, it doesn't make any sense, but that's because everything with God is a mystery. So, yes, he could take somebody like Hitler or you or me who has sin, and instantly his grace covers over that. And I don't think there would have to be a process. Although, honestly, I'm open to it. Like, if we find out that there is a purgatory, we'll be dead, but I'm not going to, my faith is not going to be shattered. Again, we'll be dead. Right. But I would be okay with purgatory existing. I don't currently think we need a process beyond what Jesus already did for us.
The only thing I'm going to correct in what you just said is the use of the word need. That's not what Catholics think. It's not about need, because that implies an insufficiency to grace.
Yeah, yeah, so exactly.
Grace is all we need.
Okay.
But the outworking of grace as God has designed it is that it looks like that.
It looks like you need it?
No. It looks like there is a... For everything we do, in the same way that... You don't need anything but God's grace to live a sinless life, but yet you sin, and yet you still suffer the consequences of your sin. I'm talking temporally here on earth. Like, the same thing's true temporally as it would be in the afterlife, right? You don't need anything but God's grace, but yet God has ordained it that in your life, when you sin, you have to make reparations for that. You have to deal with the consequences of your sin.
You know, it would be a good argument if you were a Catholic is to say, purgatory is not for God. It's for you, the sinner.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I guess I didn't hear you saying it in those terms, but if I was arguing as a Catholic, I'd say,
yeah,
grace has covered you, but you, sinner, who is going to become a saint, need this, whatever this process is.
100%.
To prepare yourself for heaven forever.
And it's like, well, why is that? Well, you could ask that about anything. Like, why does God, it kind of gets to the problem of evil. Yeah, you're becoming a great Catholic.
Really, thank you.
Well done.
All right, listeners.
But so, yes, that's the, don't think of it as like something necessary for God. God is good. but God has designed things in such a way where our sin has consequences.
Listeners, if you like this talk about purgatory, we're about to do a whole deep dive on the Divine Comedy, specifically the canticle about purgatory. So join us, patreon.com/thesuffragcristian. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.